Looking to connect with the brightest minds in tech transfer and innovation? Then don't miss your chance to advertise right here on Autumn on the Air. With a highly engaged audience of academic, government, and industry professionals, your message will be heard by the very people shaping the future of research commercialization. Whether you're launching a new product, building brand awareness, or recruiting top talent, the Autumn Podcast is where your message belongs. Contact info@autumn.net today to learn more.
You're listening to Autumn on the Air, the weekly podcast that brings you conversations about the impact of research commercialization and the people who make it happen. Join us for interviews with patent and licensing professionals, innovators, entrepreneurs, and tech transfer leaders on the issues and trends that matter most. Keep listening for an inside track on the people, IP policies, and politics changing our world.
Welcome to Autumn on the Air. Today, we're thrilled to feature Junji Nishihara, Senior Communications Advisor at McGill University. Junji has played a pivotal role in shaping the narrative of McGill's entrepreneurial and research successes, guiding communications for key initiatives that have positioned the university as a leader in innovation. Welcome to the podcast, Junji. Really excited to have you on the air with me today.
Thanks a lot, Lisa. Really looking forward to this opportunity.
Yes, I'm really excited about this conversation today because we are going to talk about the McGill Innovation Fund. So I thought, Junji, the best place maybe to kick this podcast off is to have you share a little bit about the story behind the creation of the fund and what inspired the university to launch the fund itself.
Great. Well, thanks for that question. And again, thanks for this opportunity. So the McGill Innovation Fund started when McGill University was looking forward to its 200th anniversary. That was back in 2021. The university is obviously founded in 1821. And the principal was looking for big moonshot type ideas that we could use to excite alumni around the world. And one of the ideas that came out was the idea of originally an investment fund, that is to say, taking stake in McGill spin-off companies. But the principal at the time, this was Suzanne Fortier, she shot the idea down. She did not want the university to become a bank. She was very much focused on the educational opportunities that innovation and entrepreneurship could provide. So we went back to the drawing board and hired a consultant who did a bit of surveying. And we found that one of the missing gaps was funding for early stage ideas. And so this became the nucleus of what was the McGill Innovation Fund. It's just to provide funding to teams on a grant basis rather than the university taking an equity stake in these companies. And that's how it started back in 2021.
So given that, what are some of the key eligibility criteria for teams that apply to the fund?
So the nucleus of it is based on research, as I said, and how that works in our office is the report of invention. So this is the first step that a researcher might take towards creating a patentable technology. They declare to us what the concept is, and then our team, the technology transfer team, will examine it in detail, see that it's not done elsewhere. Is this novel? Is this non-obvious? And the usual criteria that patentability dictates. And that is something that separates us from other similar programs at the university, which do not have the report of invention requirement. And in fact, we don't see a lot of this in other universities at all. Most of them are based around student entrepreneurship or alumni or other links to the university, but not this core based on research.
So that was the impetus for tying it to the ROI. You wanted it based on research.
Absolutely. I mean, I think like a lot of U.S. universities and certain universities in Canada, it's publicly funded. And so there's, I think, a growing concern overall with where is this money actually going and how is it benefiting society? And so one of the real objectives of the Innovation Fund is to get stuff out of the lab and into the real world where it can make a difference. And this is actually an important concept to underline. Yes, there's a lot of focus on spin-off companies and startups, but our program is also open to researchers who are interested just in creating a license, that is to say, licensing technology to an outside player, another company. And so sometimes they'll need to have funds that go beyond their regular research project program requirements that allow them to look at things like marketability or other commercial development aspects.
Now, you mentioned other competitions just really generally, and there are a number on campus, and I'm assuming the ROI, as you mentioned, is something else that distinguishes this particular fund from some of those other funding and competitions that are on campus.
That's right. So at the University of McGill, we have competitions like the Dobson Cup. This is through the Faculty of Management. That's open to anyone with any kind of McGill link. So it could be a current student, a past student, professors, virtually any link whatsoever. And there is no real ROI component whatsoever. The same goes for Fessenden. This is one that's organized by the Faculty of Science. Again, these are research-heavy projects with a commercial, potential commercial avenue forward. And similar, we have the McGill Engine Center, which runs out of the Faculty of Engineering. Again, student projects are welcomed, not tied to research. And so it's something that the MIF, the McGill Innovation Fund, makes it different from the other programs at the university.
So the MIF is described as having one of the largest funding envelopes for such a fund at a university. It's really very impressive. So I'm curious if you could talk a little bit about the scale and significance of this funding.
Yeah, thanks for that question. And it does make us different. So at the MIF is divided into three different prize tiers. We have the Discover at $25,000. We have Develop at $50,000 and Deploy at $100,000. And $100,000 is a significant sum of money that really can help a company or a nascent project move forward. When you compare this to competitions such as Dobson, where I believe the largest prize is about $20,000 to $25,000, it is quite a significant step higher. Fessenden likewise has a pretty generous package, but they only offer it every 2 years. Our program is annually run. So in all, we're looking at a total funding envelope of about $325,000 to $350,000 per year. This is a significant sum of money, and it shows the university's commitment to innovation and to entrepreneurship for its faculty.
So one of the things that I thought was really interesting about the origination of this fund was that the initial funding came from royalties collected by the university from past innovation successes. How do you think this commitment demonstrated McGill's belief in its own research community?
Yeah, we thought that was an important message to send there at the beginning. If we had just kept going around and asking alumni for their support, it might have taken years to get this off the ground. So having that skin in the game, demonstrating that commitment, I think really made a difference to the messaging that we were able to send out to alumni supporters and potential supporters, saying, hey, we're doing this right now. Do you want to get involved? It shows a level of commitment, authenticity, and urgency that I think is translating into real success, because to show from where we started 5 years ago, where we had 100% of the funds were generated by McGill, was all through royalties. We are now at a situation where 100% of our funds awarded are from our sponsors and donors. So we've already transitioned in this short period of time to a place where the fund is being sustained by external supporters.
And what do you think this initial decision to fund through royalties, the message it also sent to maybe inventors and entrepreneurs there at McGill?
Yeah, I think it showed that the university was behind them, that we were serious about what we wanted to do with the technology. And of course, it's kind of a natural loop if you think about it. The royalties and inventions that are generated by McGill professors result in funds that come back to the university. So it's only natural that we go back and feed the cycle of innovation to create a new round of innovations or products or technologies that could once again generate licenses and royalties. So it only makes sense. It's only logical. But having said that, we are moving very strongly to donor support. We have a lot of conversations going on with our alumni around the world. And of course, corporate support. So one of the big sponsors to step in was the Desjardins, Mouvement Desjardins, which is the largest credit union in North America. Some of your American audience might not be so familiar with Desjardins, but this is a major, major financial operation with billions of dollars of assets. And they have a strong commitment to community-based innovation that really aligned with our needs. And they are a strong supporter of our Deploy Stage Awards.
Yeah, and I would imagine, given all the budget cuts that universities seem to be facing everywhere, not just, you know, we have some pressures here, obviously, in the U.S., but it's affecting universities everywhere, that this has really been helpful to help you adapt and continue on in your mission.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to increase this. I mean, the idea is to grow this program. We want to increase the number of awards. We like to have, if possible, themed awards. I can describe in a minute how we've partnered up with the McGill Antimicrobial Resistance Center. But to do that, yeah, it's going to really require external players to get involved. Again, the McGill Alumni Work Network is tremendous. We have a lot of incredible people who have gone on to significant success in their careers, and they're willing to participate, to come back and give back to the university, and partner with us to help us keep that success going. So it is something that's going to evolve over time and grow. And again, we're looking to external partners to help us do that.
Now, before we talk about alumni, I do want to go back and talk a little bit more about the award tiers. You mentioned the three different levels, the 25,000, which was the discovery, the 50,000, which is the development, and the 100,000, which is the deploy. Can you provide a little bit more in terms of specifics, like what can be done with those funds at those different tiers? And tell us a little bit about how you even select the winning teams that get, you know, those respective awards.
Sure. So we have, as you pointed out, the three different levels: discover, develop, and deploy. So discover, this is very much for projects that are still in the lab. They might be thinking of commercialization. They have not really developed their MVP yet, or even really looked at commercial pathways forward yet. So they're really just kind of dipping their foot in the water. We're talking about projects that are at, say, TRL level 3 or 4, or maybe even earlier, TRL level 1 or 2. It really depends. Then at the develop stage, they might have filed a patent application. They probably developed an MVP already, or a prototype, a functioning prototype, but are looking for more support to really get it forward. So maybe hiring a consultant to look at the marketability or develop a business plan. It's really, really taking things a bit more seriously. The deploy stage is where things get a bit more serious. Again, it's a higher level of funding, $100,000. And this is for reserved for corporations. So it has to be an incorporated entity, and it has to have a license agreement in place with McGill. We do make exceptions in the case of software companies where there might not be a patented technology involved. It might just be copyright based, in which case there wouldn't be a license to speak of. Nevertheless, McGill might have some small equity in the company, depending on the way it's founded. They would be eligible to apply as well. And another aspect is the McGill AMR Center. So I mentioned them briefly before. That's the Antimicrobial Resistance Center. They offer us a 75,000 envelope as a top-up to any of the existing awards. So the teams will pass through the first phase of judging, and then if they're successful and they are eligible for the AMR sector, then they can come back and pitch again and be eligible to receive up to an additional $75,000. Now, how does the judging take place? This is done with the help of our alumni experts. So we have a pool of alumni who are helping us in the MIF. There's about 50 people involved, and we'll call in a panel of 3 judges per tier who will come in person and sit and listen for the whole day to a series of pitches. Each pitch is about 15 minutes in length. There's 10-minute Q&A, and then there's a voting that takes place, and we choose the winners. The exception is the deploy stage, where that is a virtual panel, and that's enabling us to connect with alumni around the world. So we have people calling in from Singapore, California, UK. So it's a bit of a stretch from the time zone point of view. And we do make that a somewhat shorter session, where often the number of applications is a bit less anyway. But a lot of questions, a lot of expertise from the panels, and a lot of high-quality presentations that we feel really helps us choose the most suitable and best winners for each stage.
That's pretty amazing. And I'm curious now that you've had this fund for several years, if you've got some examples of how this funding has transformed either a team's technology or maybe their startup trajectory.
Well, one great example is this company called Altero Energy. They came to us in the develop stage and were successful and moved on. And since that time, they've gone on to raise over $1 million through private equity and other. There's another university level fund called UCED Calgary. They invest. They take an equity stake in their companies. They were also participating in that $1 million round. And so that company is very poised for future success. They are a clean tech company, which is burning metal powders as the fuel source, but the metal powders don't leave behind any ash. You can actually just re-oxidize the metal and burn it again. So effectively, it's like a battery. So it's a very, very interesting technology with a lot of potential for carbon reduction. And the story they tell is very, very compelling. And they've been reaching great success. Again, $1 million is no small sum. Of course, in the energy sector, it's going to take a lot of dollars to get that proper leverage. But nevertheless, I think the MIF was transformative for them.
We've been focusing on the funding aspect of MIF, but I don't want people to get the wrong impression. You do a lot more than just provide funds. You also support these teams for a period of time after their award. So tell us a little bit about what MIF does after these teams get their award. I know there's various resources. You provide mentorship and there's programming. So there's a lot that you guys do besides just the funding. So share some of that with us.
Definitely. I mean, when we present the MIF to teams, there's a slide in every deck where it says it's more than just money. Because it really is. So yes, we do offer generous funding packages, but the big value we feel comes in the support program that follows. There's a one-year support program where we sit the teams down, develop a roadmap for them in conjunction with our alumni experts, and then set up a series of advisory board meetings that take place over the following year. They meet every 2 months, and we work very hard to populate those boards with people who have relevant expertise for these teams. So to give you an example, this year, the cohort is almost entirely, in fact, is entirely medtech related teams. So they're all in life science. And so we've picked and choose our boards to support these teams. We have people with C-suite level participations in companies like Sanofi and Novartis who are participating in these boards. So really, really offering these teams a lot of expertise that you simply just couldn't get anywhere. So it's really getting them plugged into a network of expertise that is quite unique. And this is the strong benefit of having the McGill Alumni Network to rely on. I mean, these are really, really successful people. And they have had such favorable experiences at McGill, they're just also willing to give back. So that's part of it. We have the advisory boards. And then, of course, we offer lunch and learn sessions where we bring in experts to talk about specific topics, whether that's raising non-dilutive funding, dilutive funding, branding communication, regulatory pathways for your product, project storytelling, all the various aspects of entrepreneurship that you simply can't learn in a course on university campus. You have to get this out in the real world. And then in addition to that, we have the McGill Connect platform, which is sort of a social network platform based on PeopleGrove software. So I think a lot of universities in the US are using this platform, and that connects them directly to mentors that they can reach out to on their own time.
Now, you've mentioned several times the alumni network that you have there, and it's really incredible. And it sounds like they've really been critical to MIF's success. Are there any stories about alumni stepping forward to help support new ventures through mentorship, guidance, or resources that you can share with us?
Yeah, we have mentors who, I mean, they're just incredible people. One person I'll name in particular is Tony Falco. He's started three companies and is now he's now a full-time employee at a major European project. But nevertheless, I remember we had set up a board for one particular project. And then by chance, he had met teams at another project and they said they were really, really keen to have Tony involved. So I just contacted Tony and said, listen, can you sit on both of these boards? And without hesitation, he agreed. Wow. It was just remarkable. I mean, he's just so generous with his time. And again, this is someone who's done this multiple times and he's had to pivot his own technology in very difficult ways. So, for example, he had created computer-assisted visualization, and he had originally focused on, I believe it was breast cancer, and then had to pivot to an entirely different form of cancer and totally revamp his business model and so forth. So he's been there, he's been in the trenches and knows what it's like, and can help these teams, you know, manage those pitfalls that they don't even know they're heading for.
Do you have any idea how many alumni have participated in MIF since its inception?
Yeah, we have a pool of about 75 people that we reach out to.
That's impressive.
Actively, there's about 40 who come back regularly. For example, I was talking about the deploy judges. So that's a pool of about 8 alumni around the world. And whenever we reach out towards the end of the year and say, hey, we're going to be setting up another panel, are you in? No hesitation. We get 100% response each year. It's an amazing commitment from these people.
Yeah, it really is. And it's like we were mentioning, you know, it's really contributed to the success of the program. And, you know, keeping on this concept of success, are there some memorable success stories or maybe milestones other than the ones you've already shared that you'd like to share with us as well?
Well, there's one of our projects is called Dendrotech. They have developed a chemical solution that enables cellular life to continue while it's in that petri dish state. Particular things like human nerve cells. So often you will store them in the fridge, and they'll start to degrade after 1 or 2 weeks. With their product, it can go on for months and months and months. So the potential for this to really change and advance research is absolutely huge. And they were successful through the guidance of the MIF advisors to sign a sublicense with the major distributor out in the West Coast. And I think that's really transformed their business. They already have their own online sales program going, which generates some revenue, but this sub-licensing thing was very, very exciting, pivotal for them, transformative, and it's going to help them position them for future product development, and already having a built-in partner like that is a major difference for them.
That's incredible. And, you know, as the podcast comes to a close, Junji, I want to ask you, you know, it's interesting times for everybody right now around the world. Where do you think the fund is going to go and how is it going to evolve over the next 3 to 5 years?
Well, as I was saying, we definitely want to grow the program. We want to add in more sponsors. We can do things like have a clean tech competition or have more targeted funding awards. AI might be an area to look into. Montreal is blessed with a depth of talent in that area as well as in investment. So that's a potential avenue to look into. But one thing that I would really like to grow this into is something similar to a Shark Tank or a Dragon's Den type program where we brand it a little bit more, have a bit more visibility on the actual pitching days, raise the skill level both of the pitching teams, but also raise the profile of the participating alumni. I think that could be very exciting for them. So this is something I'm looking into. It's going to be maybe more than 3 to 5 years down the road, but nevertheless, I think that's the potential, and I think that's the excitement. And I think people have to understand just the incredible value that universities here in Canada, it's the same in America, the value that we generate for society. I think there's this ivory tower complex that I really, really want to break down and just show people these professors. Yes, they're incredibly smart. They might be difficult to understand, but they have stuff that can benefit your life and life of people around the world today, now, if we help them.
Absolutely. Very, very well said. And thank you so much, Junji, for spending time today and sharing with us the ins and outs of the MIF. It's really a fantastic program, and congratulations on all the success so far.
Thank you so much. Appreciate this opportunity and the platform to speak to your audience. And again, if there's anyone out there who's interested in learning more about the MIF, getting involved in some way, even if you're not alumni, would love to hear from you. So please reach out to me through Lisa and the team at Autumn.
Thanks so much again.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Autumn on the Air with Lisa Mueller. Get social with us and share your thoughts. You can tweet us at AUTM or visit us online at AUTM.net. We'll be back next week on the air. Be sure to join us.